reading to you from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah and with the 10th verse. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be any after me. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 47 years in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Of course, you know our main thrust is prisons. And oh, how we love that. Now listen, I talked to a church that I'd worked with last year, me and my ministry, and we gave out lots of Christmas baskets to inmates' wives and families, and they furnished the toys. They told me again this year that they would like to work with us, and so start praying about the Christmas. I know it's a long way off, but boy howdy, December comes on as fast. Well, listen, I'll be with you for 29 minutes. Why don't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea, and see what the Lord has for us. Now, be sure and pray for my wife and I as we leave for Delta the 14th of this month for a service there. I haven't been there in a year, so I'm looking forward to it. Be sure and pray for these services. It means so much to me. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 15th chapter of John, and let's begin reading with the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Ye are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remain in me, and I in him, I will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Dear friends, I will tell you about that particular verse of Scripture that changed my entire life. Now, that's quite a statement. But years and years ago, way back years ago, in 1957, I was attending Bible college in Riverside, California. My wife and six children, and I would work in the daytime roofing, and I would go to school at night. Well, I came down with a lung tumor. You've all heard that. I came down with a lung tumor and was given up to die. I could not understand why God would call me to preach and then let me die at an early age. But somehow, deep, deep down in my heart, I knew that this was a test of my faith and that God was going to heal me in his due time. Romans 8:28 still in effect. Well, I was still, in fact, I just got out of bed with my lung tumor, and I was weak, and I was running a temperature. We had an Indian couple that went to our church, and there was doubts as to whether they knew Jesus. It just, there were some things that made you wonder if they knew Jesus. So one of my deacons knew that soul winning was what I liked to do the best, and so he suggested that my wife and I, we go to this Indian couple's home, and I could talk to them about their soul. All right. I promised the deacon that I... excuse me. I promised the deacon I would go. Well, we went. Before we went, my temperature was up to about 102 or better. And I told my wife, I said, Jean, I'm just too sick to go. I'm just too sick to go. So I said, I'll have you call the deacon and tell him. But I said, wait a minute. And it just is so clear in my mind, in my heart, that I was to read the 15th chapter of John. Now, don't tell me how I knew that, but I knew it. And you probably, many of you have experienced the same thing. When you knew God was directing you to a certain scripture to read for your instructions. And I told my wife, I said, I'm just too sick to read. Would you? I just laid down the couch. I said, now, please read that 15th chapter of John. And she did. And the more she read, the more the Spirit of God began to really move in my heart. And this is what really did it. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. I told my wife to go call the deacon and say we're on our way. We got to that people's house, and they welcomed us, and we were sitting down there fellowshipping and everything. And pretty soon, the lady said, would you and Jean like a cup of coffee? I said, yes, that'd be nice. So she went over to make some coffee. And somehow, some way, my wife, this is the silliest thing, I can't believe it. My wife was praying one day, and she said it really seemed like she'd seen this lady in her prayers. And this lady wasn't even a Christian. And in fact, so my wife looked over there, and she began to cry and quiet. And I said, what's the matter? She said, that's the woman I saw in my prayers. I said, you're kidding me. So we talked on a while, and I said to the lady, I said, are you afraid of fire? And, oh, yes, I'm so afraid of fire that we even turn off the hot water gas at night. And I told her, I said, you know, my wife was praying the other day, and she saw you in her prayer. And it said, it seemed to her like you hadn't given your heart to Jesus. And to make a long story short, that woman began to weep. And she said, well, I'm not born again. And her husband said, and nor am I. And that evening, as we knelt there, those two gave their heart to Christ. Now, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Listen, friends, in the beginning of the 15th chapter, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Years and years and years ago, when I was a little boy, my mother's health failed, and we moved to a higher climate at Odell, Oregon, and we had 20 acres of delicious apples. My dad was a wheat rancher. He knew nothing about fruit, but everybody prunes fruit there, you know. Now, why do they prune this fruit? Well, they cut off the suckers and the bad limbs that won't bear fruit. And when they cut these trees back, then they begin, the other limbs begin to bear more fruit. And so he is explaining that he was a vine. Now, apart from Jesus Christ, you and I cannot do anything. When the quartet and I go to the prisons, or when Bill and the Tex go to prison, we go there with a message from on high. We go there telling them not about our church, not about our denomination, not how to be baptized. We tell them that Jesus wants to enter into their heart to give them a new life. We have seen thousands over the years, the quartet, my wife and I, come to Christ and pray to receive Christ. The other day, down at this other prison, this man walked up to me and told me when he was saved in one of our meetings. Now, it is not me, it's not Cecil Moe that wins people. It's the Holy Spirit of God that draws their hearts. Now, we always, always give an invitation. That's why I'm so, I get so confounded, upset at these pastors and these churches and in prison who will get up and preach up a storm. Why, they forgot more than I'll ever know, but then they close with a prayer and a hymn, and they don't invite men and women to put their trust in Jesus. They're wasting God's time, and they're wasting those inmates' time. We must tell them that Jesus saves. We must tell them, ye must be born again. The other day, the quartet, my wife and I, was at this restaurant. And we had very good success in reaching these waitresses and waiters. And this little lady comes, she was waiting on our table. And I says, young lady, I said, what does born again mean to you? She said, it means born again. It's a church term. I said, have you been born again? She said, I sure have. Now, had she not been born again, she wouldn't have understood. Let me tell you what, friends, something I do not do. I never walk up to a person or anybody and ask them, are you a Christian? Because 99 9/10 per people in the United States think they're Christians. They think we live in a Christian, our country's a Christian nation. It's not. Now, I love America. Don't say, well, you're putting, no, I love America. I love our flag. I love our country. But friends, listen, you must tell them how they can be born again. And if you don't, you're just making mockery of the gospel of Christ. Oh, he said, you have not chosen me, but have I appointed you to go? I have appointed you. I've given you the order. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. That's a command of ever born-again believer. Friends, our churches, I was thinking the other day, and I'm sure some of you older Christians have done this in your own life. My wife and I was sitting, we were talking about the old days when we first got saved there in Seattle 47 years ago, and how happy we were. We'd go to church on Sunday morning. We'd go to prayer meeting. We'd go to church on Sunday evening. We look forward to the fellowship of the saints, and we had a dear pastor that talked about souls. That was Tom Baird's thrust. Go and win souls. That's what we're here for. Well, I was raised under that, you see. And then when I left our church and went on to school, many churches I attended did not have that thrust. They didn't seem to care whether people are dying on the road to hell. I wonder if some of you pastors tonight, maybe you've got discouraged, and I can understand that, and I do understand that, but maybe your people won't witness, they won't go out in visitation, and you've got discouraged, and so you just threw up your hands. Brother, your job is to train those people. Teach them how to go out and introduce a soul to Christ. Tom Baird took me, I don't know how many visitations while I was there that year to witness for Christ. And you know, friends, I used to speak an awful lot in Virginia because that's where Tom spent the last few years of his life. And I'd go to pastors' meetings. I've spoken at a lot of pastors' meetings and a lot of world mission conferences. And people would walk up to me and say, well, it's very obvious Cecil Moe is a Tom Baird trained man. Oh, listen, Tom's eyes would just get tears in them because he did train me. He helped me. He showed me that winning souls is not a difficult situation if you let the Lord do it. Friends, have you ever been out fishing in a stream in the mountains? We used to have a nice little creek went through our place, and the water was so clear, and it wasn't too deep either. Now, when you went fishing, you lay down on your belly, and you stick your line out there a little ways, If that fish saw you, you did not catch him. But if he didn't see you, he'd bite. Well, if the people don't see, if they see Jesus and not the person that's out there witnessing, then there's going to be success. God wants you and I to do just that, to witness and to tell others about Christ. And if you want your prayers answered, then read this 15th chapter, John, down through verse 17. Read what it says. That is the real master key of prayer. And if we do what he said, do his commandments, follow his commandments, he'll answer our prayer and give us the essential things in life that we need to serve the Lord. Friends, listen, 29 minutes is not enough time to do anything. But I want to ask you tonight, what kind of a born-again believer are you? Are you cold and indifferent, and you don't seem to care much about people who are dying on the road to hell? Would I give you some real good advice? Come back to the Lord. Come back and say, Lord God, I've been so slack, and I really haven't been as concerned as I should be. And then when I heard Cecil read this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Now, let me ask you, friends, would you like to come back and go back to the old days when we were so fired up for Jesus, when we couldn't wait to get into Sunday school or training union, and we couldn't wait to go and see what the pastor had for us on Sunday morning? Oh, I miss Tom Baird. I sure do. He was such an inspiration. And he was the one that told me how to put my trust in Jesus. And as we knelt that together in that home of his in Seattle 47 years ago, I cried like I couldn't cry no more. I was a sinner, lost, doomed, and damned on the road to hell. And then he said, but Jesus loves you, Cecil. That morning I experienced that new birth by trusting Jesus. Friends, listen, if you're not winning the lost, if you're not sharing your testimony, please ask God to help you, to help you become the kind of Christian he wants you to be. Friend, if you're lost tonight and you don't know Jesus, let me ask you, would you like to invite him into your heart? If so, bow your head to me right now and pray this simple but powerful prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm opening my heart and trusting you as my Savior. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church, and I want you to know I'm concerned. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Of pearl and streets paved with gold.
That is the finest quartet in the nation. That's my New Grace Quartet. And I tell you, when they go to prison with me, and they do, oh, they do all the time, I just love it because they love those men and those women, and they love them too, I'll tell you for sure. Well, let me give them my mailing address. It's Mo Evangelistic Association, 9621 South Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, 80129. Friends, I want you to just do what God asks you to do. You kneel and pray and ask the Lord. We need help naturally to go to these prisons. Well, last weekend we spent over 400 miles apiece, two cars, two vans, and three couples staying in a motel and their food. It's very expensive, but it's a needed ministry. God has blessed us and God has used us. But be sure, if you sit down and write an offering to Mo Evangelic Association, please put on their prison ministries. Pretty soon I will be taking our offering for our Christmas baskets, and then I would want you to put Christmas on it so we know where to put the money. All right, now listen, let's listen to the late Lonnie Royal as he sings for us. I can't do that because I don't have it keyed up, but I do have one that Bill Adelong wrote back in 1978, Things That I Gave Away, and I'll tell you for sure, this is a very truth. This song makes a lot of sense because, you know, God doesn't want us to be selfish people, and that means for preachers too. We just can't talk about it, we do it. Listen to Bill.
Standing all alone before on the throne, on the grand and glorious day. In the book beside my name, all there be that I can claim will be the thing that I gave away. Thing that I gave for a friend took the time to kneel and pray. If he places anything at all in my cup, will be the things that I gave away. Stop to help a man who needs a helping hand. He had fallen by the way. It is written in the word as was spoken by the Lord. These are the things that I gave away. Things that I gave away in his name. For a friend took the time. If he places anything at all in my cup, will be the thing that I gave away. A robe for his back, some bread placed in his hand, and a cup to drive his thirst away. More than I have given thee, thou hast given back to me everything that I gave away. Things that I gave away in name, for a friend took the time to kneel and pray. If he places anything at all in my cup, will be the thing that I gave away. If he places anything at all in my cup, will be the thing that I gave away.
Well, friends, for the past 29 minutes, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear Lord, dear friends, dear Lord, too. Thank you for listening. And, dear friends, be sure now, and I ask you urgently to pray for my wife as she sells real estate. This has been one of the terrible years. But pray for us. God works miracles. And until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. This wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.